All right, I think we got some of our problems worked out, some. When I called the internet company, Charter, I was able to convince them that I knew a little bit about networking. And so that saved a lot of time because they want you to unplug, plug back in, now unplug, plug back in 20 times. And so that saved us a little bit of time. And I've had people from the internet company just be very condescending. Excuse me, sir. Make sure that the computer is on. Do you need an IP config or what? And they'll go, oh, okay, never mind. So anyway, but we still got a few things that it blew out the sound device on our streaming computer, so I had to replace that. It blew out the modem, which brings the internet into the building. Blew out both routers, which distribute the internet to the building. Blew out both of those. And our fingers are crossed on the septic system. We don't know if we're out of the woods yet on that or not. All of this before homecoming. Imagine that. So I'd rather it happen the week before homecoming than the day of, which we've had before. So anyway, and there's a lot of people in this room that need prayer today. And a lot of needs. Galatians chapter 6. Turn there. I was telling somebody this morning, when I finished 3 years of Bible college, I thought I knew it all. I didn't even graduate, didn't even go the fourth year. And thought I knew it. Thought every church in America would just be dying to have me as their pastor. And God knew me better than I knew myself. And I didn't understand what I'm going to teach you. I didn't know anything about it. Barely anything. And wisdom comes with what? Age. Because age, there's a lot of mistakes in those years. Yeah. When I got my driver's license, I thought I would get a citation for the best driver in the world. Why does she laugh every time? Every time. And so, yeah, that didn't work out so well. Let's read this, and I'll tell you something I was telling somebody this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. Somebody say amen to that. Because that's what we were, all of us, all of us. We're very deceived at one time. And we thought that we wouldn't sow what we reaped, or we wouldn't reap what we sowed, thought that wouldn't happen to us, and it does. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, what is that word next to the word flesh? What is that word? Now, word shall, is that a maybe? Is that a might? Is that an if? If he doesn't get saved, that for he that soweth to his flesh shall, if he doesn't get saved of the flesh, reap corruption. It doesn't say that. Salvation does not protect you from sowing or from reaping what you sowed in your flesh. That's where you were deceived. And I want to explain that. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Now there's an if. if we faint not. And what happens to someone when they faint? They what? They fall. See how those words are linked together. See how that concept is linked to what's coming. Do what? Lose consciousness. Like a drunk person. Think about that in your Bible. Think Bible on everything. Now, we were coming through corn and soybean land. Best corn and soybeans in the world are planted in America. From the East Coast almost over to the Rocky Mountains. And I mean, they're just, that's all you see. Coming, if you go through Ohio like we did, Ohio, Indiana, Northern Illinois, Iowa, into Kansas, into Nebraska. They've called Nebraska what? The what state? Cornhusker state. You'll see them everywhere. And then every now and then, you'll see what I saw. I've either not seen it or not paid attention to it. But I paid attention to it this last couple weeks. I saw what I perceived was a farmer that had rotated his crop. Right now, I mean, who's growing cotton? I used to drive through Arkansas, and that's all we would see was cotton, 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 cotton. You know what's down there now? Rice. Rice down in the south, and there used to be a lot of wheat grown in the northern plains, not so much now, it's corn and soybeans. That's where the money is, because they figured out things they could do with corn, and they put it in everything. And they make plastic out of it now, okay? And corn syrup and corn sugar is used. It's used as gasoline now. I mean, it's used for everything. So that's where the money is. That's what they're growing. And I saw a farmer rotate a crop. And here's how I know it. He changed a field from corn to soybeans. How did I know that? Just driving down the highway, I looked at it. Took me a while to think about it. Sterling's got a grin on his face. I think he knows. How did I know that that farmer rotated from corn last year to soybeans this year? He still got corn coming up. So what happens? Well, that harvester, that machine, they wait for them corn stalks to get golden yellow and that corn to get good and dried on those cobs. And that machine goes through there, pulls the cobs off. This is not the corn you get in a can at the supermarket. That stuff is bone dry. And then that husker pulls the husks off and pulls them kernels of corn off that cob and throws the corn out into a big truck in already just the little grains. But every now and then, some of it spills out. And you got a field, because I know this because a guy that I know in Indiana goes out with a bucket after his neighbors. He doesn't own any cornfields, but he's surrounded by them, and he goes out after his neighbors to do the harvesting, goes out with a bucket and scooping up corn. Deer love it. Okay? You can set you up a nice little blind, can't you? Oh, yeah. So there's corn laying in all these fields just from laying out there from being harvested. So we call it volunteer. Best tomato plant ever saw in the world was in our dog pen. Beautiful green stalk growing up along that dog fence. That's where we used to throw the scraps out. I don't know if them dogs ate very many tomatoes, but we threw the scraps out in the dog bowl, and we had a volunteer tomato plant growing up in that dog pen. Now, I wouldn't eat those tomatoes, but they were nice looking, I tell you that. So I know the idiot didn't mix corn and soybean in his grain as he's sowing during the spring. So I'm thinking there must have been corn left out in that field. and he rotated the crop, decided to plant soybeans, and it probably takes several years for all them seeds to finally not germinate out in the middle of that field, because he had corn stalks coming up in the middle of his soybeans. I mean, all over them, dotted all over it. It probably takes years to do that. Now, I want you to think this for a minute, because this Bible's right. This Bible, there's no accident in anything it says, and it does not need my correcting. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is an absolute. If you sowed it into your flesh, you're going to live. God's going to let you live long enough for you to see it manifested. And sometimes it's years. Years. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So what's going to happen to your flesh, guys? It's headed down to the grave, and there's no stopping it. Everybody's going to die. The generation that gets caught up in the translation, that's the exception. But everybody dies. And those of us who will be caught in the translation, I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe my grandkids, I don't know. But they'll have died to the flesh long time before Jesus shows up in the air. So here's what happens. God comes in, he sows different seed in us. And it's this book. And all of a sudden now you got sick and tired of your sin. You got sick and tired of corn. And you said, I'm going to rotate this crop. And so God started sowing good things into you. And lo and behold, good things started coming out of you. But that old stuff's still in there. Am I right? Tell me, those of you who are advanced in age from me, does it ever go away? I figured that answer out before I'd asked you, or I wouldn't ask you. It don't go away. It might diminish over time, but it don't go away. So a lot of wisdom just looking at this guy's field, thinking, what's he got corn stalks coming up in his soybean field for? How does that happen? Well, I kind of knew the answer to it. It's the stuff that we sowed into it. God came in, rotated the crop out. He's going to put some good things in us so that there's a good chance now. In fact, it's a probability that, yes, we can redeem ourselves at least from some of the corruption that we sowed into it. But it's always going to be there. That may not be the answer that some people wanted, but it's the Bible answer. Now, what's God going to do with this whole earth one of these days? I'm going to burn it up. Why is that necessary? You can't put new wine in old bottles, can you? Why would you build New Jerusalem on an old earth? Why not just... Why would you put $1,000 set of brand new tires on an old 72 Toyota truck? Why would you do that? Just ain't a lot of reason to it, is there? So you put new wine in new bottles, you're going to build New Jerusalem on a new earth. God's got to burn up everything. It's all got to be gone. Then he can he taketh away the old that he may establish the new. That's what he said in Hebrews. And that's an and the reason why he didn't say he taketh away the old this, the reason why he didn't identify the old is what he's taking away. If it's old, he's taking it away. He's getting rid of it and going with all new stuff. That's an absolute from God's word. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. He's going to do away with the old that he may build the new. Behold, I make all things new is what Jesus said. But it comes in time and it comes with a price. And the price, I don't know how in the world that farmer whose field I saw, I mean, I saw one field with a little bit of corn stalks in it. And I saw one, it was, I would say, about 2/3 to 1/3. How in the world is he going to harvest in that mess? And that's, you know what? We look at some people's life and we say, how in the world can God fix that? Well, if anybody knows how to do it, God does. If anybody knows how to do it, God does. Maybe there's a way that some farmers don't have that problem, and that guy just didn't learn it or ignored it or whatever. You know, some people that farm ain't for the farming business. That would be me. Turn to Leviticus 19. But the wise farmers, and not everybody that farmed in America was wise. I watched a documentary made back way back in the 40s or 50s, and it was a government documentary. It was trying to teach some of these old farmers to quit wearing out their farm, because these farmers would buy a field, and they wouldn't fertilize the soil. They didn't do that back then. They just planted until the field just didn't do nothing no more. And they called it wearing out a farm. And they would plant, nothing come up that year. So they'd say, well, I'm a bust. That was back before they had insurance on all their crops. And before they had co-ops and stuff like that. And if a farmer wore out a farm, he's out. He's out. He's poor. He don't have nothing now. So the government was trying to teach these old farmers back in the 30s and 40s how to fertilize the soil, how to put it back after every crop. God had a way where you let one lay fallow for a year. Did he not? He said you got to let the land rest. God's smart. Amen? Leviticus 19, verse 19. You shall keep my statutes. And look at what God said. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Now, we know now a lot more than the Jews knew then about what the possibilities of that could be. Because we're not living 100 years ago. We're living now where Monsanto and these other companies, Bayer Aspirin, bought them out, where these companies now can genetically modify any creature on the earth. And God said, don't do it. You're fixing to create monsters. You have no idea what you're messing with. When God put everything on this planet, he said it's good. And his balance was equaled out. Everything fed on everything else, so you didn't have an overrun of one over the other. Man comes in with his science and his test tubes and his microscopes and his quantum computers thinking he's smarter than God now. And we can do more now by genetically modifying this creature and genetically modifying that creature over there. But you got to understand there's a balance. And if you upset that balance, 10 years from now, you're not going to have a species on this earth that you needed 10 years ago. You needed it 20 years ago, and it ain't there no more. Why? Because you starved it out. You took away its food. Bees only do certain things on certain kinds of plants. They're not like us. They don't eat just everything. There's only some things they'll eat. Deer and cattle are like that too. If it don't smell right, they're not going to eat it. And if you change the genetics of something, you change the odor of it, that cow knows a lot more than that scientist what that smells like and what it's supposed to smell like. And if it don't smell like something he's supposed to eat, he ain't going to eat it. God knows these things. And so, and then look at what he said. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. I just said that, didn't I? So you thought I was making that up. That's right in your Bible. That guy, that farmer that I saw, like I said, his was the worst of it. He's got about 2/3 soybeans in his field. He's got 1/3 of it corn. I don't know how in the world. What machine do you put out there? Because it's two different machines plucking corn and pulling soybeans out. Two different harvesters. Which one are you going to run first? Because you can't have them both. Maybe he's just going to mow it all down at the end of the year and start over. I don't know what he's going to do. But something ain't right, and you can't mingle your seed. You listening? Neither shall the... God even said, you should not have a garment mingled of linen and woolen. Linen is plant, cotton. Woolen is animal. God said, don't mix them. Don't even wear a coat that's cotton and wool blended together. Now, why would God care what kind of polyester, 60% polyester, 60% cotton coat you have on? Why would God care if your fur coat is 90% fake fur, but it's got a little patch here, it's real chinchilla? Why would God care? Okay? He's got a reason. God saw today. God saw our world now. And he said, I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't mix them together. So, lo and behold, they planted a rice field a few years ago where they genetically modified the rice with human DNA in it. Now, the rice didn't grow fingers or hair. It was a specific part of the genetic, but God said, don't do that. And if God said, don't do it, see, bees don't pollinate people. And they don't sting rice plants. I don't know if they pollinate rice plants, but anyway, God said, don't do it. You're messing with stuff, you don't know what you're doing. And when he said, don't sow a field with mingled seeds, so listen to me now for a minute. Weren't you done sowing to the flesh? Weren't you done? Didn't you want the good seed to come up and do what the good seed's supposed to do in your life? Isn't that what you said to God you wanted? So why are you still throwing corn in your soybean pot that you plant seeds with? Why are you still throwing corn in there? Or why are you still throwing nettles and thorns and thistles in it? See, it, when you think of it that way now, because there's a war going on every day. Your spirit over your flesh. And he said back in Galatians, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And there is a war going on of your flesh versus your spirit. Now, your hope is that God will kill you before you do too much damage. Or God will just teach you how to stop sowing to the flesh. Now, again, some of that stuff, volunteer, it's going to come out no matter what. That didn't mean you got to fertilize it and add to it and make it worse. And some people's got the idea that they can sow to the flesh all they want to and it not affect their spirit. Some people's got that idea. I don't. I don't think that. I think the flesh and the thorns in it can choke out the Word of God, which was sown in us, was it not? But with some people, it just doesn't take root. And it's got no depth, bears no flower, thorns choke it out. That is made very clear to us by what Jesus taught us. You can call that doctrine whatever doctrine you want to call it. I'm just telling you, Bible terms, how stuff really is. Eventually, that farmer, eventually, probably he'll get most of that corn tilled. Again, I don't know how a guy rotates his from corn to soy. I don't know how they, some guys apparently do it better than others. But that's my point. Some people follow the word enough to where God teaches them over time how to sow more to the Spirit, and you just don't sow so much. I mean, the body's got to stay alive. Body's got to stay alive. Things you're going to see, things you're going to hear, things you're going to be part of in this life. And this is where God trains it out of us. He whoops us enough to get it out of us. That's a whole nother thing there. But well, let me make this analogy about raising children. You can contradict training a child by letting the world teach them. You can train a child, or try, say you're training a child. What is training? What do I mean by training a child? Whip them. Got to whip them. Got to use a rod. Got to. Okay? And I've made many of those mistakes myself. But to just throw your kids over to the wolves every single day. Somebody, what you talk into them, somebody's going to talk it out of them. If God didn't set it in them for real, it won't stay. And we already know that. How many kids pass in and out of a church in our lifetime? How many kids have passed in and out of this church in my lifetime? Scores of them. In, out. And out, maybe, for good. Maybe there's hope for some of them. In fact, I know there is. But in churches you've been in part of, how many kids pass through our Christian school that will never, never serve God a day in their life? How many kids go through churches now and just filter through, and once they're out in the world, that world's got them and maybe has them for life? So God's trying to teach us some things here that'll help us, get us to think, get us to put ourselves right and our minds right and our hearts right with Him. Because this world's not getting any better. And maybe it's your grandkids out trying to kick federal courthouses' doors in now and burn them down to the ground like Antifa. Maybe your grandkids or your great-grandkids are on the side of Antifa now because they somehow were taught that communism really is a good idea. We got all the problems fixed now. We let Russia and China and Cuba make all the mistakes and Venezuela. Now America's going to get communism right. There's nothing about it that's right. There's nothing about it that will... It is a broken system from its inception. It doesn't work. Amen. Deuteronomy 22. He says it again here. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Now that's one, two. That's twice now God has told us this. Out of the mouth of two witnesses or three, let every word be established. So right now, God's established a heavenly principle in us. You feed yourself on the political correctness of this world and the lies that this world is telling, the deceitfulness that this world is telling. Parents raising children as if their little mistakes are innocent. And what's going to happen to them after a lifetime, after 20 years of being told that they really didn't do anything wrong and never corrected and never punished? After 20 years of being raised that way, what do you think that child is going to end up being like? Exactly what was sowed into them. Exactly. There is no condemnation for sin. There's no pain and misery and suffering for doing anything wrong. And the laws of the universe will teach us that. Jump off a 30-story building and act like you can fly. The laws of the universe will teach you different. Job 4. Look at that verse. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Again, I don't think that that farmer deliberately mixed corn seed in with his soybean seeds. I don't think he even did it by accident. I don't think the bag just fell over in it. Some mistake that he made, but it's an absolute, it is a law. I mean, why do you think God is using these terms here? He's making it simple enough for us to understand that if I planted a rose bush in this hole, then 5 years from now, a rose bush will be in this hole. That's how simple all of this is. And I expect to get some roses out of it. In fact, I have more luck now with rose bushes than I have just about anything. Lisa's got me planting some pretty things there in front of our house, and I've gotten somewhat, I'm not my daddy. My dad could, if it was the Sahara Desert, he'd have him a garden out there in it. At one time, he worked three gardens. Beautiful, big gardens. I mean, okra, and we had everything. We didn't eat canned stuff. We ate it out of the garden fresh, or we ate it out of a jar, a mason jar. And I did not like butter beans. But I had to pick them, and I did not like black-eyed peas, but I had to pick them and I had to shell them. I hated those things. But Daddy planted them and we ate them. But if he planted black-eyed peas, then we ended up with black-eyed peas. If he planted butter beans, we ended up with butter beans. He planted okra, we ended up with fried okra. Now, fried okra I liked. Boiled, I didn't like boiled. Ugh. Slick, you ever eat boiled okra? Slimy. My dad used to eat it so much and never could keep his socks up. Proverbs 6, turn there in your Bibles. But if you plant that, that's exactly what you can expect to get. And again, salvation does not stop that. Just because you got saved, what you hoped was, now that I'm saved, I should bear no consequences for my actions. Maybe it's just youthful. I don't know enough about salvation yet to know how it works, because that's probably what I thought. Or you're not taught right or whatever. If people hold that idea for years, they're never taught anything out of God's Word. I know that. If you're taught out of God's Word and you're taught out of life, then you know that God's Word does not deviate from the laws of this universe. And if it was sowed out there, it's coming up. You know what we'll find one of these days about the Sahara Desert? What if it started raining now in the Sahara Desert every year, year after year? Guess what would happen? It would bloom like crazy. There's seeds that's been laying out there for 1,000 years that's going to come up. Okay? Why? Because it used to be there. It didn't used to be all desert there. It used to be all fertile. It was great. Proverbs 6. I'm in Psalm 6. Proverbs 6, verse 12. A naughty person. Look at your Bible. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Froward is the opposite of two-word. If I speak two-word words to you, I'm trying to speak you toward heaven. So every sermon I speak, everything I say, I'm trying to speak you in the direction of heaven. Froward, I'm trying to speak you out of it. I'm giving you froward words and I have a froward mouth. I'm trying to talk, and always listen to me. Words are seeds, are they not? Yes, they are. Words are seeds. And I'm not talking Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland type stuff. I'm talking, if I want my wife to know she's got a husband that loves her, then I got to sew that into her. I got to put it in there. And I speak it and show it. Actions are seeds too. So a froward, if I'm here talking, you're trying to talk you into heaven, I guarantee you the devil's got his people trying to talk you out of it. Am I right on that? Guarantee you the devil's got his agents stationed at strategic places in your life to talk you out of it. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Now you know what that means. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness sounds like Italians. They teach with their hands. They talk with their hands all the time. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth what? Discord. That means that's some guy trying to talk another man's wife out of a marriage. Marriage is a cord. Bonds together. They're corded together. Discord means they've separated two people out of a marriage. Isn't that wicked? Wicked. There shall he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Notice that's the seventh one. I think that's the most abominable. Someone that soweth discord among brethren. Somebody who would come in a church like this one and try to stir up strife among everybody to get it all busted up. Somebody who would talk, sow discord. Rock and roll and music singers speaking directly to your children or your grandchildren. Nasty words. Vile words. Words of rebellion. Am I right? Speaking directly to your children. Words of rebellion and words of naughtiness. Go, bypassing mom and dad's authority. They are discording that child out of that family. That child's going to grow up hating his mom and dad, blaming them for dragging him to church all the time. But it wasn't their fault. Somebody sowed discord into his ears, into his mind, into his heart, or hers. Father, there's a lot of things to be taken in, a lot of things to learn from this book about sowing and reaping. Thank you, God, for giving us the wisdom. Thank you, God, for making it simple enough for us to understand that we'll only get out what we sowed in. It's that simple. And God, I don't want this world. I don't want anything of it. I want eternal life. Sow it into me. Keep it, Father. We love you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen.